Not used to having to put on this mic. John chapter 9. John chapter 9 tonight. Thank you, Brother Schuler. Appreciate that song. Here today, gone tomorrow. Could be any time. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I believe John said that. John chapter 9. And we're going to look at the first five verses as we're into the third lesson, our third sermon. Of living in the light. First, we talked about the light is revealing. Last week, we talked about the light is reflective. And tonight, we'll talk about the light is reviving. It's reviving. I'll read this, and I want you to stay in chapter 9. I'll read in chapter 8, verse 12. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John chapter 1 also says that the light was the light of men. It was the life that God gave us. So in the life, in the light is life. And as a child of God, when you get saved, the Son of God becomes your substance. He becomes your sacrifice. He becomes your Savior. And in that comes light with Him. And in that light, it gives life to those who were in darkness. And we'll talk about that. And so by thinking about that, think about this blind man. In verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, as Jesus passed by..." Now remember what just happened in chapter 8, verse 59. It says they took up stones to stone him. So he runs out of the temple. They were going to stone him to death because of him being the Son of God. So Jesus hid himself and he went out of the temple. But now he says, "And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." Now, this would have been on the Sabbath day that Jesus would have healed this blind man. And the Pharisees are already mad at him. And now what's going to happen is that Jesus is going to do a miracle in front of them and make them even madder. But that's all right. Jesus is going to be all right. Verse 2 says, "And his disciples asked him, saying..." Sometimes the disciples just didn't get it. We know that the disciples were Baptists. Because sometimes they're just like us. They just didn't get it, did they? Notice what happened, what the disciples say here. "You know, I'm glad Jesus was kind. Because I would have said, really? That would have been my answer to the disciples, really?" But notice what Jesus said. "Master," or the question, he said, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So the disciples thought that because this man was born blind, that apparently his mom or his dad had to have sinned to cause this upon him. But notice Jesus' answer. He says, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Can I remind you, as the scripture is saying here tonight, that man was born blind so one day Jesus could pass by and place this clay upon his eyes and he go to the pool of Siloam and wash and him be healed of this. That's why he had purpose in his life. I hate that the man was born blind, but God had a purpose in this man's life, just as God has a purpose in your life. Just as God, I say this, and I don't want to say it because of the boo-hoo and mahoo, but God gave me Bailey for a reason. God gave Michael Wiggins and Donya Wiggins Bailey for a reason. And I don't think Bailey was born the way she is because I sinned or because my wife sinned. If it was, it'd be my wife. But definitely not me, because I've not sinned in the last 2 seconds. Yet now I hadn't. So, but, you know, I'm glad God gave me Bailey. But it was, it got, why did God, so God could get glory from her life. And matter of fact, I was telling somebody today, I think me and Brother Chad was talking about it at lunch today, is that Bailey's made me a better person. She's got some ailments and things like that, but she's made me a better, I was going to say a mom. Whoo, that'd been bad. My wife a better mom, me a better father, and made me a better Christian, just trusting in the Lord more and more. I mean, you know, that's why people today are like, "Well, I hate that I'm this way." Well, use that way to glorify God in your life. Let God work in your life, whatever your situation is in life. That was a free sermon. Now notice what he says in verse 4. He says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." By the way, the night is coming. The night is coming. It's coming fast. By the way, notice what Jesus said. He said, "As long as I am in the world," he said, "I am the light of the world."
Notice, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. In other words, here's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was not telling his disciples, when I leave, the world's going to get dark. He's saying that whenever I come back and rapture the light, the little lights out of this world's going to be dark. During the tribulation period, darkness is going to be upon the face of this world. Why? Because God's going to rapture out all the lights. That's us. God's going to take us out of here. And John chapter 12 tells us that in verse 35, I believe it is. You have to look it up later. Just read the whole chapter. But it talks about that Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, but now you're the light of the world. He told us that also in John chapter 7. He said, you're the light of the world, that we are the light of this world today. And so Jesus was pointing to a futuristic event of the rapture whenever he's taking the little lights out of this world. And it's going to become a dark world. But can I remind us again that the world is dark today? Even though we're here, we're shining as bright as we can, the world is getting darker and darker and darker and darker. Somebody say amen. If you watched any of the presidential things, it's getting darker. Yeah. The devil's, he's holding the checkered flag right now, ready to wave it around. But can I tell you, the victory's not his. Oh, it may seem like he's winning now. We'll let him drive around the track one or two times with the checker flag in his... But that's all right. One day that checker flag in the car he's riding in is going to be crushed. Right underneath the foot of my Savior, right? And matter of fact, Jesus is... Anyway, that's a whole different subject. We can't preach on that. Y'all quit it. All right? Now notice what he says. He says, I am the light of the world. So here comes Jesus walking down this road, and the attention is grabbed by the Lord Jesus Christ of this blind man who was blind from birth. So let's think about this scene for a minute. Is that here's a blind man, and we understand later on in the verses that he was a beggar. Most blind people were in this day because they couldn't work. But let's think he's sitting by the temple, supposedly probably outside of the temple gates there, and he was begging for his bread, and Jesus saw him. This ain't the last time that Jesus saw this, or the first time, but Jesus saw the blind man, and he goes to him, and he says the statement in the presence of this blind man. He says, I am the light of the world. You know what? One thing blind people don't understand is light. Why? Because their world is total darkness. They don't understand the sunshine. They don't understand the sunrise, the sunset. They've never seen that with their eyes. They don't comprehend what blue is and what red is and what green is and what all the colors of the spectrum. They don't understand the rainbow. All they have is darkness in their life. So could you imagine this blind man going, I am the light of the world. Blind man says, well, what good is that to me? Physically. Oh, but he's fixing to find out spiritually what the lie of the world is going to do to him. And he's going to find out physically what the lie of the world is going to do for him. Now, Jesus, of course, is going to show forth his power. He said that in verse 3, he said that he's going to do this great miracle because why? That the works of God should be made manifest. That the works of God through Jesus Christ should be made what? What's that manifest mean? Brought to light. Whoa, here it comes. Jesus is going to bring to light the works of the Heavenly Father, and he's going to take this blind man, and he's going to do something that is unconventional. He's going to spit on the ground. It says spittle. Verse 6. That's what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says words that are kind of funny sometimes. Like when the whale came to the shore, you know what the Bible says it did to Jonah? It vomited him out. I like those kind of words, don't you? Makes a good children's book. But he says, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but notice what's going to happen here. Jesus is reaches down, and he's going to take some clay from the ground, and there's a picture here, and we'll get in it later, and he's going to spit in that, and he's going to apply that to to this blind man's eyes, and he says, I want you to go to the pool of Siloam. You read the rest of the chapter, and go wash. He goes and washes. By the way, I'm getting ahead of myself. There's a picture here, but we're going to go ahead and get it. Who needs notes? The clay, matter of fact, the picture was not for the blind man because he couldn't see it. The picture was for the disciples who were with Jesus. Jesus was reminding them that God chose to use us, the clay vessels, but mixed in with God. He used to spit. Any work that me and you are going to accomplish is going to be God using us and working through us. That's what God was showing the disciples. And I want to work through you. Matter of fact, you know who was going to be doing some healing and some miracles later on in life? The disciples were. But the greatest miracles that they were going to be doing were they were going to become fishers of men. They were going to be winning souls to the Lord. And God was showing them a picture that God uses earthen things to accomplish heavenly things. God chooses to use us. The disciples were getting this picture, but here's another picture. Is that it's us, God, and it's faith. The blind man had to go to the pool of Siloam and wash his eyes off. Now, I don't know about you. Number one, somebody spits on dirt, puts it on my eye, there's going to be a fight. I don't want nobody's spittle on me. Right? And probably if it got on my eyes and I didn't know it, you wouldn't have to tell me to go wash. Right? By the way, he could have told him to go into the temple and wash. But he told him to go to another source. A source that he would have to trust would do what the Savior said it would do. By the way, that's the faith of that man. He had to act in faith and go and wash in that pool of Siloam. And then the Bible says, and I wish we had time to read this whole entire story, but it says, and by the way, the word Siloam means, it gives you the interpretation in verse 7, it means sent. He sent him. He sent him to this place and he washed. And I like the end of verse 7. It says, and washed and came seeing. He saw. I mean, can you imagine all your life? We don't know how old he was, but it did say that he was a man. So let's just think for a moment. If he's a man, maybe he's in his 30s. 30-something years of being blind from birth, never seeing one light. And the first light that he sees is the source of light. He sees Jesus Christ, the source of all light.
I'm going to amen myself tonight.
Make sure this ain't got nothing in it. Woo, glory! I don't know about you, but I checked it. There's nothing in it yet. But I don't know about you, but if I had been blind from... I'm 39 years old, and I'm holding strong there. I really am 39. And I'll be 39 for a few more years. But if I've been blind all my life, and I have a few friends that are blind, and I can't imagine living life not being able to see the beauty that God has out there. I can't imagine being married to a wife that I've never seen. For some guys, that might be good for the wife, right? To be blind, not see her husband, but not the other way around. But never to see the beauty that God has. You take this auditorium, look at all the colors that are in this auditorium, all the flags, all the colors we get to enjoy with these eyes. But can you imagine this? You've never seen nothing, no light, no nothing. And all of a sudden your eyes are open and the first thing you see is the very source of all light. Amen. Woo, glory. There's Jesus Christ standing there, the source of light who gave this man sight. Well, I got ahead of myself. Let's look at how light revives. Number one, it revives by giving light from a source to a soul. It revives by giving light from a source to a soul. What is the source of light? Jesus said it right there. He said, I am the light of the world. In verse 5, he said, as long as I'm in the world, he said, I'm the light of the world. That is the source of light. Spiritually speaking, it is the source of all light. Jesus is the source of light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, talks about us. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. God reminds us who we used to be. By the way, can I remind all of us that we were revived one time. When Jesus Christ became our Savior, when we trusted in Jesus Christ, He revived us. I never will forget, I joined the fire department in 1994, 95. I turned 18, whenever I turned 18. I don't know when that was. But I remember as soon as I turned 18, I couldn't wait. I joined the fire department, and the first thing I had to do, I had to take a CPR course, I had to take a first responders course, I had to take a firefighter course, all these things. So I took all these courses, I graduated, and what happened is that the very next week we got a call. somebody had a heart attack. And we had, and there was a, it was a lady who had had a heart attack, and I was there, one of the first ones, and the EMT was there. She was doing resuscitation on the mouth part. I was to do chest compressions. You know what's amazing is to see somebody who was dead be revived. That is our job. That was my job, even as an EMT and working in paramedic, was to try to revive those who are dead. We hook them up to the cardiac monitor, nothing there. You hook them up to them paddles, you shock them, and all of a sudden you see a little beat. We revive them. They were dead. They were clinically dead. But through modern medicine and through electricity, they've been revived again. Can I say that whenever Jesus Christ shines light into a soul, He revives them from a dead state, from a darkened state, and He revives them, gives them life and light. Hallelujah. Everybody that's here that's saved tonight, Christ revived you from a dead state and made you alive. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, or somewhere in there says that. Somewhere in the book of Ephesians it says it. But he revived us. He made us alive. A dead soul becomes a living soul. The second thing the light does, it revives by giving light from a source to a seed. You ever plant something? You know what it needs? It needs light. I bought some plants for my wife. And we kill everything we get our hands on. I can kill everything but weeds. Somebody say amen. I can spray it with Roundup and some other things I can't mention on the internet that are not legal, probably, to spray on weeds. And the weeds just look at me and go, you know? I mean, they taught me. I can't get grass to grow, can't get a flower to grow, but I can't kill what I want to kill. So I brought my wife these hanging plants and I hung them up on the porch. And 2 days later, they're this funeral time. We got to have a funeral service. They're dead. They're gone. Try to give them water. No, they're dead. They're gone. Well, guess what I forgot to do? I read the little tag, you know, like most men do afterwards. You know, it's kind of like, you know, read the CPR manual after the fact. You're like, oh, that's what I was supposed to do right there. One thing it said that it had to have for those plants was what? Sunlight. S-U-N light. For you and me to produce and be fruitful, we have to have S-O-N light. We have to have sunlight in our life. We have to have the light of life. You know, one thing that's funny about this story, look at verse 25. I love this. So they asked the parents, they said, is this the man who was begging at the gate? We don't think that's him. And of course, the parents are kind of trying to be passive here because they knew they'd get kicked out of the synagogue if they answered the question. And so here's what they say. Go ask him. He's of age. Go ask him. And here's what this man says. All of a sudden, this man who was blind from birth, now he has a testimony. Notice what he says to these Pharisees and all these here. He says, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, he said, I know one thing. Here it is. He said, this one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He's already starting to plant seed in the lost around him because now he's testifying of the truth. Hey, I don't know exactly what it happened, but I can tell you this one thing. I was blind, but now I can see. And in our life, we should become fruitful because why? The source of light shines onto the seed and it causes it to grow, causes it to germinate, causes it to produce. I used to love planting gardens, and of course you can't plant it in the city because you hit water pipes and neighbors and all that stuff. But we used to love planting gardens. And one year I planted a garden, and the garden just, I mean, it was just beautiful. It grew and grew and grew. And then, you know, other times it's all about the sunlight and about the water. It's what it comes down to, making sure the soil's right. I used to love to grow corn and plant rows of corn or butter beans and all those things. But it has to have sunlight. When that sunlight hits it, it grows and it grows and it grows. And guess what? It produces those ears of corn. Don't you love sweet corn? I could eat some right now. Right off the stalk. My grandfather used to grab them off the stalk and go to town on those things. He'd be outside, he'd pull an onion up, and he'd wash it off with his hands and peel that outer layer off and just, oh. I wouldn't talk to him the rest of the day. His breath stunk. There wasn't a fly around us the rest of the day. But my grandfather knew that it had to have the right amount of sunlight. You couldn't plant a garden in the shade because it had to have sunlight in order for it to produce fruit. Well, so is true in our life. We must be, for us to become fruitful, we must grow in the light of Christ. That's why we're to live in the light. So the source of light can shine upon the seed of our life and upon the seed that we plant. He that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again and rejoicing. Why? Because the seed has found the sunlight, the source of light, and it's growing. Our lives are growing. If you're a Christian here tonight and you're not growing, guess what? God's not pleased with that. We ought to be growing Christians. I think that's a great statement. Rooted in Christ. Rooted and built up in Him. That we should be rooted in Him and have good roots and have good soil. But we got to grow. And to grow, you got to be in the sunlight. If you live in darkness, things die in the dark. If you don't believe me, come to my house. I mean, if it's green, it's gone. That's our statement. My wife, I love my wife when she says, like Mother's Day's coming up, first thing she says, don't give me flowers. They die. It's like, okay. So anyway, I like it when that happens. That way she tells me what she really wants after that, usually. Usually that's a introduction to don't get me that, but get me this. And usually it's more expensive than this. All the women said amen, right? All the mamas said, we deserve it, right? Because every woman, if you have three kids and a husband, really you have four kids. All the mamas just should have said amen. And even if you're Cindy Biddle and you don't have kids yet, you still have a kid because she's married Chad Biddle, right? Amen. Right? Hallelujah. I get an amen out of her right there. Yeah. So is my wife. We have three kids, but my wife has four. Counting me, right? Boy, thank God for mamas, by the way. And producing Christian is one who is planted in the sunlight of Jesus Christ. He knows his source. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Why? Because he's planted by the right source, by the river of life, but also the light of life that we need from Jesus Christ. Let me give you the last thing tonight. It revives by giving light from a source to the saved. That's us. Now, it helps us produce. It helps us to reproduce. But here's the other thing that it does in our life. The story in John chapter 9 really revolves around, yeah, the blind man, but really the story revolves around the disciples. Christ was trying to help them live in the light. He was trying to encourage them. There again, if you go back and study the previous chapters, there was a lot of persecution going on with Christ and His disciples. There was a lot of discouragement going on. The disciples didn't quite understand everything. And so Christ was always trying to encourage them and remind them that He was there with them. And as long as He's there with them, that He will be their light. But when He's gone, they're going to have to be the light and they're going to have to shine forth. And so He was helping them. Encourage them. When you live in the light, can I remind us that Jesus encourages us in fellowship with Him? Read 1 John. 1 John talks about if we live in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with God. We have that source of light shining upon us as a saved people. I don't know about you, but I need encouragement. I need Christ to shine His light, and I want to live in the light of Christ so the source of light can shine on me so I can be encouraged that He's there. I don't want to live in darkness anymore. I don't want to step out of the shadow of God's light. I don't want to live in that place where sometimes we get on the edge of it and there's darkness here and there's light here. I don't know about you, but I want to live in the light because that's where my encouragement is. That's where my growth is. That's where Jesus is dwelling and blessing in my life. I believe as a Christian, as last week we talked about being a reflector, and if you think about most lights are only as strong as that reflects it. The lights that we have on the side of the building, the reason that they shine so bright is, yeah, they're a big bulb, but also they have mirrors in them, they have reflectors in them. You look behind these lights, they have reflectors in them. It reflects the light. It's trying to take that light and make it as focused as it can forward. Well, as a Christian, in order for us to shine as bright as we need to, we've got to live in the light of the source. As to say, we have to live in the light of the source. We have to make sure that we're living in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian, we should desire to live in the light because it is our source of strength. Jesus is my source of strength. Have you ever noticed that I knew a family once, whether here or there, as Paul said, it was in another church, and they believed that you didn't let your kids outside. And literally, they didn't. They didn't let their kids go outside. Their kids were like pasty white. Their kids were always sick because they didn't let them go outside. The kids, literally, they would, of course, it was a family. They had a lot of kids, and they would drive their kids like up to the front door of the church. Get out, hurry, go. Get inside before you get sunlight on you. And those poor kids, I mean, I'd hug them all the time. I just felt so sorry for them. It's like, can I take them outside? No, you know, they need to go outside. These kids need dirt on them, you know. The kids need sunlight. It's vitamin D. You need it. It helps you as a Christian to live in the light of the Son of God. Why? Because it's the greatest vitamin you can get. And it's the greatest source of thriving in your life. And when you're not living in the light, I don't know about you, but when I'm in darkness, I want to do one thing. Danya's a great example of that. My wife can fall asleep. Now, we've almost changed spots. But used to, if it got still and dark, my wife was gone. I mean, we could be out eating supper, and it'd be one of those restaurants where they turn the lights way down, you know, so you can't see how bad the food is. And, you know, they got that ambient music playing. And you look over there and your wife's going. Because that's what darkness does, doesn't it? By the way, it's hard to produce anything at night. I don't know about you, but I don't work at night. I used to. But I didn't work out in the dark. I worked underneath a canopy with a bunch of lights. But you know what? When it gets dark outside, what do most of us do? We go in and we sit in our recliners and we rest for the day, right? That's what I do. I like it when it gets dark. That lets me know, kids, you're fixing to go to bed. I'm fixing to go to bed too. Time to rest. We're non-productive at night for the most part. But here's the thing is that when we choose to live in the light, we become non-productive, spiritually speaking. We become, and I hate to use this word, but we become useless spiritually. And we need that light to revive us as Christians. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get discouraged. Hello, don't leave me hanging. Nobody else gets discouraged here? I'm looking out there. Some of y'all need to tell your face that you're not discouraged. But, you know, we all get discouraged. We all go through those times of our life where it just seems like, I know nobody else here is like this, but that black cloud is hanging over you, and you're going like this, and it's following you. You feel like the children of Israel. Cloud by day, you know, and no fire by night, just a cloud by night too. And it just seems like that it's there, and it seems like darkness is prevailing in your life. The problem a lot of times is maybe God's trying to take you through a trial, but still, as the children of Israel again, remember when the darkness went upon the face of the Egyptians? You know what happened to the Israelites? Guess what they had? They had light. Even though darkness prevailed upon the whole land of Egypt at that time, the children of Israel had light. And as a child of God, you can live in a dark world and still have light. And let it be your source of strength and let it be your source of encouragement. And thrive in that life. This is a very familiar verse, but I'll read it to you. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But here Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." As a Christian, it ought to be your desire to live higher and higher and higher. You know, when you get in an airplane and you go 30,000 feet where kind of most planes fly, you're closer to the sun, right? There's more heat, more warmth a lot of times the closer you get to a light. Just like if you was to get closer to these lights up here, the more warmth you get and the more light you get. The closer you get to Christ, the more He reveals Himself to you. The more He encourages you through His Word. He enlightens you through the Holy Spirit of God. The more He warms you when it's cold in your life and you become calloused in your spiritual life. I'm one to say that I'm very quick sometimes being in full-time ministry to become cold and callous to the things of God. because I'm used to just going and going and going. And sometimes I look at my life and I've steered away from the light. And I wonder why my life is getting cold and why darkness is beginning to prevail in my life. I got to go back to the light. I want God to revive my life. You know, we ask for revival, and you know why a lot of times we don't get it? It's because we're not living in the light. We want to have revival in our place. We want God to come over here to where we are. Somebody say, oh me, I, me or you, or just look at your neighbor and say, you need this. Unless it's your spouse. But a lot of times when we ask for revival, and I preach revival meetings, and you go to these churches and they're like, God, would you come over here to where I'm at? That's not how revival works. Revival works when the child of God steps out of their selfishness, steps out of their darkness, and they pop back into the light and allow God to revive their spirit again and to revive their Christian life. And then revival happens. When revival happens to a lost soul is when they leave the state of darkness and they come into the state of light. Just like this blind man in our story here tonight. He was revived and he experienced the greatest revival anybody can experience. Why? Because he came out of darkness and blindness and came into the light. The child of God tonight, I believe I'm speaking predominantly to people that are saved tonight. Now if there are those who are here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ your Savior, you need to get saved tonight. Because the night is come, the day is coming whenever no man can work. Jesus is coming soon. I believe he could come tonight. You need to get saved tonight. But if you're a child of God here tonight and you're saved, here's the thing, is that you got to see where you're at. Are you living over here in the outskirts of, well, I like the world and I like Jesus. Well, read John chapter, 1 John chapter 5, or 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 predominantly. Read that. Because he said that you can't have fellowship with him if you live in darkness. You say, well, how much do I have to be in the dark to be in darkness? Just an eensy bit. It's kind of like, how much water do you have to get onto you before you get wet? I can take a spray bottle and you're wet. That's how much it takes for us to get into the world. You can't straddle light and darkness and think God's going to bless your life. You got to get out of that darkness. You got to get out of that selfishness and get back into the light so God can revive you. You take a plant and you put it in the shade, some of it in the shade and some of it in light. Guess what's going to thrive and what's not? That's in the light. We've done this before. I'm telling you, me and my wife can kill any plant you give us. And we love plants. We just kill them. I don't know what it is. We're killers. Somebody gave my wife some kind of ivy or something like that. I don't know what it was. It was something green. And they said it has to have so much sunlight. You put it in your house, but you got to take it outside on the porch. And I was thinking, why don't they give this to us? That's too much work. You know, I got to take it outside. I got to bring it in. I got to water it. Did I take it outside? Did I not? So anyway, we forgot to take it outside. And guess what that plant began to do? Began to wilt. It sat up on our mantle and it's still there now. Or no, I think it's a different one there now. I think the other one went on to be with Jesus. And it's in the Garden of Eden now. But that plant began to wilt and the leaves began to turn and let go. And then I finally realized, oh, I haven't taken it outside. I took it outside, I gave it some water. I set it in the sunlight, came back later on that day. Guess what that plant was doing? It was like praising Jesus. The leaves were pointed up. They were back to where they should have been. And as a Christian, sometimes we can live in darkness and begin to wilt. And begin to wilt, begin to get bitter, begin to get out of church, begin to get out of the Word of God, quit praying, quit witnessing, quit having the right attitude. And why is that? Because we walked away from the light. And maybe tonight you just need to come back and let God revive you again and get underneath the source of light. This is it. The Word of God and the Son of God is the source of light tonight. And let God once again revive your life. And He will if you'll just allow Him to. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll pray and then Brother Chad's going to come and lead us in invitation song 500, pass me not. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings, God. Lord, help us tonight to live in the light, the source of reviving. that you give us. Lord, there may be just a Christian here tonight just needs a special touch from heaven. Lord, maybe there's some storms and some turbulence in their life, and Lord, they just want to come and, Lord, see the sunbeams of you again, and Lord, in their life, revive them and help them and guide them. And Lord, again, we thank you for the light that you give us. Lord, help us now. We ask all things be done to honor and glorify Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. If you need to come tonight, hymn 500, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, as we sing.